1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, joined on the phone by a special guest. He's the founding bass player of INXS on the 40th anniversary release of one of their most historic albums ever. Welcome to the Rocker Morning Show, Gary Beers.
Hey, Mark, how's it going in Kalamazoo?
Hey, great, Gary. How you doing, man?
I'm good, mate.
Awesome, dude. Well, you got the 40th anniversary deluxe edition of Listen Like Thieves, which is available now all major digital platforms and at INXS.com. Dude, does it really feel like 40 years has passed since this album came out, or has time really flown by?
Time's flying by. I'm sure everyone keeps commenting that it seems to accelerate each year. But yeah, 40 years does. Yeah, I guess it does. It does seem like yesterday in many ways, but it also does feel like 100 years in other ways. So I guess 40 years is about right.
Well, you were a longtime established bass player when you had formed the band that would eventually become INXS, and the band itself was pretty established when this album came out. Did you personally feel while writing it that it had the power to find the success that it did?
In a way, I mean, we really lashed out artistically and got the services of Chris Thomas, who was, you know, one of the world's legendary producers, and he had done obviously work with the Beatles and Pink Floyd and Sex Pistols and the Pretenders, but we loved his work with early Roxy music, because as the Farris Brothers we used to do Roxy music songs, and were influenced by, especially myself and John on drums, especially by the rhythm section of the early Roxy music stuff, because it had such a great groove. So getting Chris Thomas on board meant that, you know, we were taking it seriously. Everyone, you know, took time to work on their writing. I wrote the music for the actual song, Listen Like Thieves. Everyone had a hand in writing songs on the album. And we played the album live as a band. That's what Chris Thomas really wanted us to do, was rehearse the songs and play in the studio live all together. So that was kind of the first time we started doing that, which ironically, it seems silly for, you know, our fifth album we started playing together in studios, but we just hadn't had the producer that required that until that point. So everything kind of changed with Listen Like Thieves for us, as far as, yeah, musically and also as our success escalated.
Yeah, and that was obviously a huge success for you guys here in the States and Canada. Did the success of that album in particular open the doors, so to speak, to tour over here, or had you toured in North America before?
We toured relentlessly. We started touring in 1983 on the Shabu Shabar album, and we toured supporting Adam Ant and the Go-Go's, and yeah, we just took some, you know, tours that were, might seem like a strange combination, but they really worked. And we had top 40 hits during 83 with Don't Change and The One Thing. So we had been doing a lot of touring around the world, and America. We'd crisscrossed America in tour buses quite a lot before Listen Like Thieves came out. So Listen Like Thieves was kind of like the right album after the right amount of touring. So people knew about us, they knew we were good live. So it all really worked out.
Now, I know the biggest hit on the album was taken from a demo that you guys were working on. And from what I know, it was only like reworked within the last couple of days of recording. So when that song took off, did you guys give kind of a collective laugh, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how fast that came together and how much it like blew up?
In many ways, yeah, because I mean, we spent sort of months making the full record, and we as a band thought it was done, and then Chris Thomas showed why he's worth the money, and he said we still need a hit single. So we went back over the demos, and Tim went, what about this one of Andrew's called Funk Something or Other, and we just bashed it out. Michael and Andrew went in the corner and they, you know, wrote the lyrics and the top line, and we bashed it out one afternoon. And it was, you know, mixed and ready to go on the album the next day. So, yeah, it came to life in a couple of days. So that was a great part of the record was the finish in that way, and we have it to, yeah, and that became our first top five in America.
I was going to say, you really got your money's worth on the producer there.
Pretty much so, yeah. I mean, I love Listen Like Thieves. I think it's, to me, I love all our albums, but I think Listen Like Thieves, to me as a bass player, is probably my favorite. It was just a bit more adventurous in many ways, because mm-hmm. We're playing live. So it was really good.
So take me back to the roots of you as a player. What drew you to music originally and bass playing in particular?
I've always loved bass, but I actually was playing acoustic guitar with two of my mates. And we decided that one of us needed to be a bass player, so we had a bet, and whoever was the worst guitar player played bass, and that was me. So I played bass, and then next thing I know, I ran into Andrew Farris at a gig, and Andrew Farris said, "You're Gary, you just bought a bass, do you want to jam?" So next day I'm jamming with Andrew and John. So that's how I got into the Farris brothers household, so to speak.
INXS helped get you around the world, but I'm curious what some other artists that you've worked with that you've really enjoyed working with obviously being able to get out there and network with other musicians. Which ones have you really enjoyed working with throughout the years?
You know, it's always great. We only did one song with Nile Rodgers, but we keep running into each other, and you know, and he jumps on stage. I think John Farris jumped on stage with him in Australia. There's just connection with people musically, and I've got to say, Nile is one of the greatest musicians of all time. He really is. So It's great to have the respect of people like Nile Rodgers. But we've on tour and our many famous parties, there's always musicians and celebrities, but I got to say that my favourite was when we supported Queen around Europe. We played Wembley Stadium and they invited us to tour with them around Europe, and it was incredible. I mean, just for a bunch of kids from the North Shore of Sydney, it was just mind-blowing to be touring with Queen.
That's so cool. And you, now I know you formed a band called Stadium about 10 years ago or so. And it's kind of like a super group of musicians from that area. Is that band still going?
It morphed into a band called Ash and Moon. And,
okay.
So we just got back, it's got three Australians in it. And we just got back from doing a few shows in Australia, our first shows in Australia. First time I played in 12 years in Australia, and the first time ever I played shows of my own music. So, I'm still going. Still going strong.
Yeah, no doubt. Have you ever recorded anything with you said it's Ash and Moon?
Yes, we got Ash and Moon. It's one word, Ash and Moon. A-S-H-E-N, Moon. It's all the stuff's on the streaming platforms. We've released quite a bit of music lately. So it's pretty good stuff. It's very different to INXS. But got some interesting bass lines in it. But it's pretty good. I'm very proud of it.
Awesome. We'll definitely have to check that out. And, you know, with the 40th anniversary coming out of Listen Like Thieves, you know, like kind of reflecting on your entire career, what are some of the more special memories that you have of being out on the road?
It's always when you play the big shows and they come off, like Wembley Stadium, but also, in America, Madison Square Garden and Nassau Coliseum and all the big, wonderful outdoor venues, outdoor shows up in your part of the woods, up in Michigan, which is interesting. My wife's actually from Kalamazoo, so I know the area very well.
Oh, wow.
I think it's always great to play venues and shows that are famous and to pull it off, like Red Rocks and Summerfest. And all those great, wonderful, the US Festival, which was the first one ever. I mean, they're all the memories that I'll hold dear. But also, we played so many shows, and we always took pride in playing the best we could for every show. That was the beauty of INXS, is that we were there to play, So they're all good. They're all special.
Yeah. Well, the 40th Anniversary Deluxe Edition of Listen Like Thieves, available now all digital platforms and at INXS.com. And check out Ash and Moon. And, dude, it was such an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning.
Thanks, Mark. All the best, mate.
Absolutely. Take care, dude. We go way into depth about Gary's career and time with INXS. The full interview you can download right now on the on-demand button on the 107.7 RKR app.